Yeah, let's go. All right, three, two. Well, I mean, I'll just press go live, and when we're live, we're live. Okay, it says we're live. So welcome back, everyone, to the FPL script. This is episode 31, season two. We're looking at an international break here where we actually found out the fixtures for Gaming 34 as well as 37, but there are some doubts over Chelsea and Tottenham. Probably the only fixture that we really need to be thinking about going forwards. And of course, when the Aston Villa game will be played as well. But majorly, the biggest news, of course, is how the Game Week 34 and 37 fixtures have been split. We'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about how that has panned out for different strategies and different competing strategies. So, of course, JD, my co-host here at Schadenfreude with a one on Twitter, he's pursuing or already has pursued an early wild card with a 3 at 34 tangent, whereas I myself am going for, well, I have already gone for free at 29 and I did wild card early, but I think a lot of the meta strategy will be around wild card 35, bench boost 37, so we'll talk about that in the future, as well as just Ben's really, really nice looking transfer or fixture planner rather. As far as the previous game week, we'll just do that review quickly. Free at 29 for me, as I mentioned, it went well and it feels good, obviously, because I like to say that I got 21 plus 7 points, but it's just a joke because it really was just Chris Wood, who was my only differential versus most competing free hits over Morris. He did well, fortunately, got injured as well, but scored fortunately on time. Reguilon, pretty depressing, but nothing you can do. We got news that he started from Andy, and I think most people would have started him no matter what. I think even when I look back, my sort of logic with the free hit was to go for players that had the best underlying stats, given that I expected most people to lose their clean sheets. Reguilon was one of those picks, and so was Pedro Porro and Doughty, who did not much. I had Flecken as well, and that probably, if I was to actually revisit my thinking, I suppose maybe if I really truly believed that all the clean sheets were gone, I probably shouldn't have gone for Flecken. But that's something else to be discussed. As far as the midfield, I went for Maddison, Son Captain, Gibbs White, and Bowen. So Gibbs White, your classic analytics pick. I did see a little bit of discussion on the Discord about how people thought that, this would be a betrayal of analytics if you go without Gibbs White on a wild card. Although I know a fellow few friends who did, and I don't think that was a wrong decision at all, because I'm firmly in the belief that Chris Wood is on penalties, but there's also other routes to getting points from Gibbs White, as was seen in the game. And then I went with Watkins and Tony. Pretty boring picks, and Tony continues to be depressing as someone who owned him since Wildcard 26. What about you, JD?
Yeah, so as Fran pointed out, I didn't wild card. Oh, sorry. Hello, everyone, by the way. I completely spaced. So I didn't free it, and I was expecting a red arrow, but I was not expecting zero returns, or as Fran corrected me, it's a minus one return because, of course, I had Reguilon's minus three. And for, I think, 60 plus minutes, I had Areola's screen sheet as well, which, if that had come in, free 29 crew would have gone on tilt because most of them
Yep,
had Areola in
100%.
their.
We needed
On,
that
in their
bad.
in their on free hit team. So I don't know. I was hoping at least when it got wiped out that maybe Watkins was the one who would do that, but thankfully it wasn't Bailey or Douglas Luiz or any one of those. So at least there's that. And I think I'm okay with this because I lost, I think, minus one. I think I lost 1 point if I look at FPL Optimized against Prime Sample,
Yep.
which is nothing if you consider the options that people could have had
Right.
this week. And
Can
I think
I ask you what
back
your
to again.
EV was, before the deadline, if you know it roughly?
So I was again, if you look against Prime Sample, I was minus two.
Yeah.
So I was expected to do bad, not badly, but at least do worse than most
No,
people this week.
absolutely. But I was just
Yeah.
curious how many points down you were versus the conventional free hit in EV
Yeah.
terms.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know,
minus.
but
So okay. I don't remember, but I think I can find that out because I believe I will have the screenshot somewhere.
yeah, because I feel like
I
your
think.
real points wise, it feels like you're down 5 points versus the conventional free at
Yes.
29, but then it's like
Yes.
you might have been even more EV behind, so it's kind of nice, right? In terms of how
That
that
is
could
true. I
balance
think
out.
that you are right. I think realistically speaking, that would have been the case, or that should be the case, that I have lost more EV than I have lost real points. And the biggest thing which I had to commit to was no Tony, And I committed
True,
to it
yeah.
so firmly that I didn't buy Tony in any of my other fantasy games. So I went to the extent of firmly backing against Tony, with knowing that last time I did that was last season when his ban was impending. I gambled on the fact that he could get banned. He didn't get banned. He scored a goal. He got 3 bonus points, and everyone owned him that week. So I had some bad memories, but I still had to back against him because there was no other way. I needed 2 free transfers this week. And before the fixtures came out, I had half a mind of tweeting, "Oh, so everyone has 2 free transfers this week, right?" But looking at
All right.
the vitriol that's floating around, I think I'm not going to do that. It's just, I think people are a lot on edge right now, and
Yeah.
it's just, it doesn't seem prudent to sort of
Yeah.
blame
And I
the
think we'll actually just look into the numbers later on when we talk about fixture outcomes and things like that. But yeah, first thing we mentioned, of course, we said that the Double Gaming 34 fixtures are out. This is the landscape as it looks. So majorly, of course, we have a Liverpool double with Fulham and Everton, Arsenal with Wolves and Chelsea, Bournemouth with Aston Villa and Wolves, Crystal Palace with West Ham and Newcastle, Wolves with Arsenal and Bournemouth, Everton with Nottingham Forest and Liverpool, and Sheffield United with Burnley and Man United. Biggest thing here, I suppose, is that the main change is really that Tottenham blank, so or potential blank, of course. That has thrown a significant spanner, I think, for people who just were planning to, carry forward maybe someone like a Son who could still be useful in 34. But now I think the big change is you probably have to sell Son and do a hokey cokey, if you're just navigating just naturally without a wild card, which also sort of reinforces something like wild card 35 and the idea of dead ending in 34. So from my perspective, that's actually kind of ruined my plans slightly, but I don't think to a significant degree, because at the end of the day, I still have my Arsenal players, which are crucial. Solanke is still fantastic. Neto is still good as long as he stays as the starting keeper. We'll see about that. Szczęsny, Senesi types. I've got Senesi, of course. He's pretty worthless, so I'm not going to talk about him as if he's a doubler. I think that's sort of one thing that we should probably get used to discussing as well in the timeline. Like, an Everton doubler is a serious doubler from a defender point of view, whereas obviously someone like Szczęsny Szczęsny, I wouldn't say so. And then you've got Crystal Palace, which is probably bringing the most amount of differential EV alongside Everton. So those two teams, I think, in specific, maybe an Ait Nouri as well, potentially. But his EV isn't perfect. It's still subpar compared to, let's say, a double Arsenal defense plus a Liverpool defender. So something to think about. But that's sort of the landscape of Gaming 34, and of course that's created knock-on impacts on 37. I won't read the 37 fixtures, but you can find out for yourselves. And of course, as I said, the biggest impact is that you have that Brighton game now, and that being Man City in 34 has also thinned, I think, the forward and the midfield landscape as you approach transfers 34. Because previously, what I was sort of noticing is that I could maybe go for someone between the price point of Darwin and Kunha. Now I'm only really picking between Darwin and Kunha to replace Watkins. So that's a major change, I think, the landscape, where you had a half price player between those two prices with João Pedro, and he could have been very, very interesting to navigate this fixture period. And now I won't have the opportunity to do so with JP, the guy
I
I
thought
started
you were going
FPL
to say
with.
Hoyland, by the way, when you said
You could
in
do.
between those two, because
Yeah.
Hoyland was also between those two, and Isaac as well.
Even
So,
Garnacho, yeah, types like that. But
so a
yeah,
lot of
Isaac is
options.
also Darwin's price, so I think that's the biggest
Oh, yeah, sorry.
difference. So I was just thinking more someone who would be able to sort of provide some value for your team going forwards. And as it stands, I think the transfers are quite locked in now to, going for, let's say, another Wolves player. If, let's say, Hwang is unfit by 34, which I think is still highly probable that he misses out one of the fixtures, making him completely redundant, or of course, he doesn't play at all because this injury seems to be a lot worse than imagined. You're now sort of dealing with a situation where you're looking at Sarabia or Kunha as transfers more so than you would have thought, let's say, going back. And of course, part of that is just the impact of Wolves lo losing themselves within the FA Cup, but also, as I said, that Brighton sort of hokey cokey. And I think that's it. Do you have any other comments in fixtures? Anything you find interesting?
So, Wolves losing to Coventry was sort of what do you call a canonical event, which has caused all of this. Because I think United beating Liverpool in isolation wasn't as bad.
No,
you got the Liverpool double instead of the United double in 34. But Wolves losing has caused a lot of ramifications. For example, those that want to free it in 34, like myself, the perfect scenario was Arsenal not doubling in 34 because everyone has triple Arsenal. But here's the interesting thing, and okay, I'm speaking from a personal point of view here, because obviously there are a lot of players who have three Arsenal, but the fact that I have two Arsenal does mean that I have some edge to find even within Arsenal for that week when I free hit. Because so I ran the free hit solve and I was getting Odegaard and Saka, which I was expecting, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because the only, and I don't want to be one of those that is trying to differentiate for the sake of it, but I was always expecting that the EV to be gained would be in double Arsenal attack instead of double Arsenal defense. Otherwise, you will have the same team as all of those who are going to wildcard in 35.
Agree.
So the only way to go different, or for example, people that only have a bench boost left, because you are never going for Odegaard, right? You will go for someone like Salah.
Khan.
And you will go for someone like Foden down the line whenever you want to get, or I don't know, you might have to even skip one of those. And I will come to that, obviously. I'm just.
I think biggest thing is that we have to carry Haaland within our teams, which suddenly blocks us from going for a lot of expensive options from Arsenal and Liverpool. So therefore, you have to cost save on Liverpool and Arsenal, technically, whereas you don't have to do the same thing. You can just ignore Haaland.
And sorry, one last thing is, before these doubles dropped and before when we were solving using binaries that were educated guesses, one player that was coming up in all the solves was the Sheffield United goalkeeper Gurbich. Mm-hmm. He isn't obviously anymore because he's now replaced by Pickford.
Yeah.
But again, here's the problem. Like, I know that free 29 and Fran didn't mention it because he's being too modest, but I think Fran's free hit was one of the few free hits that actually went well, because you had two returns in your team. And if you're looking to pile up against a team like Luton, which you did in free hit 29, and if I want to do the same thing, I might want to think about how I want to go about getting defense versus attack.
Yeah.
Because Pickford versus triple Liverpool is not sounding great right now. And honestly, it could end up that Pickford gets a lot of saves and ends up with a decent enough score.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have to rethink that. Maybe I go for Onana, because even if he has a single game week, it probably is the best fixture that week. So a lot of options to think about. But I think I'll have more thoughts as we get closer, because I don't want to think about too many options and
you could wear myself. Jose Sa, maybe. Yeah.
Sa is also a good option, yes.
Yeah.
But again, Sa runs into the same issue, right? I'll have Solanke and double Arsenal attack.
Yeah.
So, this is where I'm struggling to. Of course, I think Onana will have less EV than most double gaming goalkeepers.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to lose EV for no reason.
No, I agree with you. I guess it probably has to be Pickford. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think ultimately I'll go there. But it is with a very, very heavy heart that I'll go there.
Mm.
So, yeah, sorry. One last thing. Free 34 can afford to carry three Spurs, which I think is the big win out of 34.
That's the biggest
and
thing. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to use this segment to talk about the discourse that's been happening on Twitter today, which is that Free 34 has suddenly lost. Mm-hmm. So I wake up and I find all these messages saying I've already lost before. And I jokingly texted to one of the group chats that I woke up and I'm seeing messages that I've lost even before I've started, which feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
And when I started looking at the fixtures, I think no Spurs, and people will be compelled to sell Spurs, is a big advantage. And I saw the fixtures for Son, and I know they're not great because he has Newcastle away as part of those fixtures in the run-up to 34. But honestly, it's just saving transfers and looking only for 36 and 37, or 35, 36 and 37.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of advantage there. And in terms of expected value, and we'll come to that next, I think we can move on to the next one, right, Fan? Case what we're talking about. Okay, so let's do this. You can talk about the wildcard, people that still have wildcard, and then I can compare and contrast.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm fully in agreement with you, actually. And I think the biggest thing that I would say in the outset is we need to always understand that it's very often with these chips in FPL, and when we play with solvers and we play with models, what we find out actually is that as soon as one fixture gets reallocated from 34 to 37, the impacts are not always felt on that game week. So, as you mentioned, if let's say Spurs are players that you can carry throughout the 34 period and you can keep them going forwards, then actually that's a huge differential because there's still going to be a lot of good EV for Spurs, and you can now gain your EB back versus the field who has to sell these Spurs assets. Like, I have to sell Son, as I said, to go to Eze. All the dead enders will have to do the same thing with Son. You can carry Son, and that's very beautiful, I think, from an EV perspective. So you gain all that EV back through that sort of Tottenham City fixture, and it's not necessarily the case that you just lose out to the field because suddenly you're free at 34 looks worse because we have Arsenal players as the non-free hit field, things like that. Anyways, going back to the point, what you're looking at here is I've picked out a friend's account. This is a friend who of mine who hasn't wildcarded. He hasn't benched boost yet, and so of course the idea was to just run the sort of chip plan strategy with the sort of updated fixtures to see when would be the best time to wildcard and when would be the best time to bench boost. And as you can see, it's very, very clearly in favor of wildcard 35, bench boost 37. And part of that, once again, is that extremely hard element of navigating for a dead end. So I think actually, if we were to maybe, self-correct this discourse, part of it too is you must have already spent you're now sort of looking at a wildcard 35 competing with basically a free at 34 from an early wild carder, and I think the expected value is still very, very similar. So it really comes down to whether that early wild card actually got the EV that it wanted, and then of course whether free at 29 did its thing, and arguably you could say it didn't. And so when you're looking at now strategy wise, I think wild card 30, wild card 35 are your best options. Another sort of question a lot of people will be asking is, what if we have all our chips left? Well, I've also run solves for that. I can very simply and easily say that wildcard 30, free at 34, and bench boost 37 would be clear. But this is, of course, a very unique instance where if you're just someone who went with the conventional free at 29, that wildcard 35, I think, is the clear winner for you now. And as you can see, of course, pretty big gulf in terms of the evaluation compared to any other competing strategy. So that is the big thing that comes out of this, I would say. Really, and it just comes down to Spurs really throwing a spanner in the works for a lot of teams. And that's it. So why don't we just move
Yeah,
on
sorry.
quickly
Just
to
sorry, Fran. Before you move on, just a couple of things to clarify for people that are watching. One thing is, Fran has run this on 100% MD, so there is no market odds weightage. And the second thing is, he has not excluded any players. And again, I keep talking about Fugazi EV. And in 37, I think the City defense currently could be a lot of Fugazi EV that never actually materializes.
That's true,
Because it could easily be the case that none of the defenders play twice in that double game week. So I'm just wary of that. And when I've run all my solves, I've excluded every single City defender and goalkeeper. So when Fran goes on to the next asset, we can compare and contrast. So this is a chip strategy solve that I did for free 34, bench boost 37. And the alternatives that I've run are, what if you were to free it in 37? What if you were to free it in 38? And what if you were to bench boost in 34? Now, bench boost 34 was never realistically on the cards because I would need to sell all three Spurs assets. And that is just,
That's
I
obscene.
mean, I'd rather have never wildcarded if that's the case. So that was never happening. And apart from these, I've excluded Trent, who has great EV on free 34, Robertson, Bradley, Alisson. Alisson is also supposed to be back as per review, so his EV in 34 is top again. And Kluivert and basically all your Bournemouth midfielders. And did I don't think I excluded Kerkez, but no Bournemouth defender was showing up anyway, so I didn't need to bother about that.
You don't need to bother.
Exactly. So all the context I'm providing is just to say that even though you're seeing 689, it's firstly because of all these exclusions, and secondly, it's also because I've used 25% market odds. And market odds, if you look at the long history of market odds versus MD, tend to have lower EV numbers
Yeah,
in
because
general.
of bonus. And another thing I'll mention too is, so I think a friend of ours, Formadillo, has shown us his effective summary of the chip strategy planning. And I think his borne out to basically 700 as well, or 701.
Yeah, 700, yeah. So I saw that, yeah.
Basically neck and neck strategy, like EV wise until the end of the season with wildcard 35, bench boost 37. So yeah, that's sort of the position where we've found ourselves in. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, in for example, in Formadillo's case, he might be lamenting the fixtures, how they fell, is because he already has triple Arsenal. So yes, he's feeling that sort of robbed in a sense.
No, I understand.
But I suspect that he will also go with double Arsenal attack because those fixtures are really good for a double Arsenal attack. And now that Odegaard definitely has great minutes, I don't see why we wouldn't do that. So I guess he's sort of, what do you call it, the delta. The EV delta is lower than what he would have wanted, but still the overall chip strategy is spitting out great EV. So I still don't think that it's a bad strategy. But the Wildcard 35 definitely has great upside, by the way. No one is denying that.
Yeah.
Because if everything goes right, you're going to have 30 fixtures on your bench boost, which could easily be OP. But
yeah,
we never know. If there are no City options that are feasible, I don't know how people are going to get to 15.
No, I agree with you. I mean, this already shows best case, though, because we are running with inverted decay. And yes, as you said, obviously, when I showed that sort of picture perfect wildcard 35, yeah, you're right. It does contain some bogus City EV. And last season we saw when we were dealing with these final game weeks with City in particular, we saw things like Haaland benchings, Foden benchings, things like that. So yeah, definitely a point of contention. Yeah.
So I think that's all there was to discuss here. And we would encourage people to run their own solves and come up with whatever chip strategy suits them best.
Once again, team dependent. Yeah. So I think that's the most significant thing too. And sometimes the reality is outcomes are very important. Like Free at 29 did not cook enough on points. And so, of course, if you look at the rest of the season, that's how much EV you have left to grab. So that's one thing to think about as well. But I think just one last question that was sort of mentioned in chat, generally speaking, is, how to navigate the rest of the landscape if you don't actually have chips left, beyond maybe a bench boost. I would say that the team that's the most interesting, of course, is in the short term. Look at, for example, Chelsea. A team like Chelsea has a lot of short-term doubles outside of 34, even earlier than the 37 doubles. But I don't think you need to necessarily triple up on Chelsea. It's just an interesting team to look at where you have options at extremely cheap prices. So Petrovic and Gusto. I think you definitely want to be going for Liverpool players in the short term. So if you need to take hits, for example, in Gaming 31 to get your double Liverpool set up, go for it. I think one of the issues, of course, that gets thrown up is when you're creating a Salah plus Haaland draft and you're trying to keep Son within it, it's very, very hard to also have Trent within your team. So the one difference that you might have with the people who are wildcarding 35 is that they will have triple Liverpool, whereas I think you need to be comfortable with double Liverpool. Another thing that I would mention too is that if you're just going on with regular transfers, you're probably looking at players like Sarabia or looking at players like Eze, depending, of course, on if Eze continues to stay fit. These are kind of things you just want to think about. So those are players who will give you short-term value because they have good fixtures leading up to 34 and, of course, are crucial players in 34. However, they're not very good for 37. So actually, I think the contrary would be to say, why not look at a player like Garnacho instead? Why not look at a player like... And Garnacho is great because he's got Sheffield United at home on Gaming 34. So let's say you don't want to carry forward too many double Gaming 34 players into your Gaming 37 bench boost. Garnacho is perfect for that. So I think having a bit of a balance, even looking at Fulham defenders potentially this week, I think that's a bit too much, to be honest. But players who actually have good short-term fixtures and then will double in 37, I think, are your best bet. The only issue that we mentioned as well is that, unfortunately, the lack of, let's say, the fixture in Gaming 34 for Spurs probably means that you can't go more deep than Son, in my opinion. I think if you, let's say, go for Porro, it is tough. You need to be sure that you, let's say, have three players that you can play in Gaming 34, and that can be very tough. So at best, I think you'll have to sort of go down to two Spurs or one Spurs player, or even zero by 34. So that's a team that's interesting because, of course, Spurs have good fixtures on 30 and 32, the same way that Chelsea do themselves. But Chelsea, of course, don't blank on 34. However, of course, they do have a bad fixture on 34, all things said. So these are kind of things you want to balance. But as I said, these picks that have good fixtures in 34 and 37 are nice. United is a good example of that. And I think you can just navigate like so. Bringing back players like Foden will be very good as well, because for the same reason that, let's say, a Man City player is very good for 37, they still play on 34. So no, I don't have any qualms, for example, if I was aiming for bench boost 37 to go for City players in the short term, after maybe the after basically gaming 33 is the best time to start bringing back players like Foden. And that's the only thing I would say, really, just talking about if you don't have any chips left. At the end of the day, the biggest thing is that you're going to have different players to people who are going for different strategies, and it could actually pan out in a very fortunate way. So I don't think all is lost per se, and EV is EV, but points are points and they're different.
Yeah, and also for someone like you, I think you already got your win in a sense because you already have much more points than what the average Freed got. So I think you have, what can we say, like a reserve of points that you're
Sort of.
willing to
But I did
lose.
lose that reserve with my wildcard 26, which I it is what it is. It's over now. And I have to take some hits in the future as well to accommodate. For example, like Pedro Neto is injured for the rest of the season. So yeah.
Oh, before we move on, by the way, one more question to ask you because I've looked at Bench Boost 37 teams after running all the solves. So, how many single gaming players will you be playing in that week? Or have you
I
not
haven't really
checked that?
looked too much into it yet. I think it once I go Gusto, of course, that's another player technically added, but you can always say that he might not play. So I think I'll just wait and see. I'm of the mind that when it comes to gaming 37, I probably need to take a -4, a -8 just to bench boost, and I think it should be fine. It should still work out quite well, because if there's ever a week to take hits like that, it's when you're getting backed by a lot more EV than you're taking out through
Yeah,
your
and
hits.
also it's the end of the season, so you don't really care about longer horizon anyway. So that works out. And also, just to compare with, for example, my team, I was looking at Bench Boost 37, and right now Revue's default strategy has me taking only one hit, but I'm getting three single gaming players. So essentially, I'm playing a single gaming Bench Boost, which is not great. So as you pointed out, when we get to closer to bench, gaming 37, both of us, I suspect, are going to end up taking a bunch of hits.
Yeah, but it's also that thing too, where it's going to be, maybe some of these Arsenal players will pan out or things like that. Last season we had a Gabriel super goal in your bench boost, I believe. So things like that can, or I'm not sure actually if you got that one.
No, I was bench boost one. There's no way.
Oh
I got
right,
nothing.
no, sorry. I think I was thinking about maybe the people who bench boosted on the single Arsenal game week. That was really good. Maybe
Yes.
a Fulham fixture. But yeah. It can work out, so you never know. Anyways, moving on. So what we have, as we usually do, and you can have a look at this yourself for your own team on FPLoptimized.com, a site run by the lovely Searle Taub, is the relative gain for our FPL teams for the season. So the idea of relative gain is really just, if you think about the concept of effective ownership, looking at the effective points from your players and how much they've given you in terms of points for the season, relatively. So for me, as you can see, and this was a theme really within the last two break times when we reviewed our season, terrible goalkeeping, only got some points recently from Neto. Part of that was actually within a single game week as well, where I really should have gotten Senesi points, but I didn't. And then, of course, a pretty chaotic backline as well, from pretty poor defenses. Paulo Colwill and Trippier, so I didn't enjoy too much of Saliba, so I think that's definitely going to be quite a big difference versus a lot of our sort of analytics-friendly fields. But the midfield's actually where I got a lot of points from certain players, Richarlison included, Bruno, the game week previous to 3-29, Palmer of course with a couple of captaincies spliced in there, but no real substantial changes. And I'm looking to bring back Gusto, so hopefully he can change things around for me. I think I've gotten probably what I would say is very much shared or correlative EV in the last few weeks, whereas earlier in the season I got a lot more differential EV, if I could say so, because unfortunately with my wildcard 26, I think none of the players outside of Neto unfortunately appear here, and part of that I think is because a lot of them have just been gotten injured. Like I would have expected maybe someone like Pedro Neto to feature potentially on the bench. tough though, of course, given that he's not actually been a part of the team for a while. But you know, I would expect it for him to actually continue to feature within my team, and then on Game Week 34 maybe come out as an interesting differential. But that's no longer going to happen. Same with Senesi, but also, and Fran, things like
one
that.
More thing, yeah. Before you go ahead,
yeah,
I also noticed that it is much more important, or it is equally important, to also look at who are your worst, what do you call it, players against. Because I suspect you won't have a lot of players.
That's true.
That would mean that you've always had, let's say, the popular high EV picks.
Yeah,
so
not
you don't
miss
have
big
any
holes.
Massive players against. Yeah. Which, yeah, exactly.
No, I agree.
So
yeah,
example,
which is, yeah.
We captained Holland against Bournemouth, right, for his halftime sub.
Yeah.
But you still owned Salah in that week, and I did not own Salah in that week.
That's true.
And he scored 16 points. So things like that definitely will contribute to maybe players not appearing here, but also if there were an anti-team of the season, I suspect you won't have a lot of players appear in that team.
No, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, I can only really recall Foden recently destroying me, and Solanke recently, and also Solanke a couple of weeks back. But for the most part, I've been, you know, pretty clean bill of health for my team.
Yeah.
The other threats were like Madison and Bowen. So yeah, definitely not major players that have ruined my season per se. So only Foden recently, and I've managed to recover slightly. So let's have a look at your relative game, though.
And when we compare it to the last time we did this, my defense is still exactly the same. My defense has not changed since Game Week 10, by the way. I think when we did this back in... not Game Week 10, that's too far back. But the last time we did this was around Christmas time, I believe. And I had this exact same defense. The values have gone down slightly because Saliba has scored some points against me ever since I sold him on Wildcard 10. So his gains have reduced. And Trippier's gains have also reduced slightly because I believe he got one or two, a couple of 9-pointers before his horrendous run of points that he's on right now. And of course, he got injured last game week. So Maguire has been there as a result of Game Week Wildcard 10. Or Game Week 10 wildcard rather. And if you look at midfield, see, Embumo is there back from before Game Week 16 when he got injured and we had to sell him. Sterling's been there. I haven't owned Sterling since I wildcarded in Game Week 10. Saka has to be there, obviously. And again, I think the gains from Saka have have reduced somewhat because his own EO was 120% in... one of the game weeks, right? When we all captained Holland. Did we captain Holland in that week?
Yeah,
I think we did.
I don't think we even thought about Saka captains.
Against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Holland had an assist and then Saka went on to score, I think, or something. It's like too many game weeks. So essentially, that's that. And I think Alvarez is number one for my team because we captained him against... No, you captained Richarlison.
No, yeah, you captained,
I captained
him versus Luton.
Alvarez against Burnley for his two goals and on his birthday. So I think that was the one big differential that I had. So apart from that, my team has barely changed. If I look at the bench, I think Gabriel is there because of his brace against Crystal Palace. And Areola obviously is number one because of his penalty save against Everton.
Yeah.
So the big change is the goalkeeper, and if I am able to count correctly, in my starting 11, one player has changed since we did this back around Christmas time. So I suspect if we look at, so I have looked at who are my nemesis, so a nemesis team of sorts, and Salah is number one because I did not own Salah for his back-to-back 16-pointers. And we did not captain Salah against Newcastle, but we got him as captain, right? Was that the same? No, not that's not the same week. That's the week where he missed a penalty and then he scored two and he assisted one. So there's a lot of weeks where Salah has punished my team. Apart from that, I don't think there are a lot of nemesis. I think Madison and Bowen were the other two, and you've already mentioned them. So
yeah, that's interesting.
That's that. Because defense, you can see how defense has been bad, right, this season. You would have expected at least players to move in and out of defense, or at least for there to be like one or two extremely prominent nemesis in my team or against my team. But there's actually no one. So that just shows you the lack of options there has been this season.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because I think maybe just to say as well, like with all these recent weeks where we had opportunities to go a little bit left field. So like, you know, your City picks potentially, your Liverpool picks on the doubles, most of them have flopped, with exception to maybe City defense. So that's sort of been a big point so far. But it's like these were all logical transfers. So it's like, okay, fine, we didn't get the relative gain, but in reality, we would have made those transfers 10 out of 10 times and things like that. So yeah, I think the game has definitely converged a bit, but we're already starting to see that a lot of teams are pretty divergent now. So I can imagine actually by the time we end the season that hopefully this would have changed quite a fair bit. But another thing too is like, you know, your Maguire holes, your Trippier holes, this was really when these players are just extremely low owned, and that makes such a huge difference as well, like when you get a differential hole like that.
And I was thinking this thing as well. So I was looking back at how our ranks have gone, sort of based on the thumbnails, because the thumbnails essentially show us the average rank. And I noticed that we went ahead far too quickly or quicker to most analytics. And then we just sort of sat there.
Yeah, plateaued a
And
bit.
then everyone else has sort of caught up, and some of them have even gone past.
No, for sure. I
So,
mean, even when I look at myself, like I had a very good rank by my wildcard 26, but I probably, I mean, I had all in all a 600% drop over the 2 weeks that I didn't own Foden. So that was like, and I think you've had some pretty tough weeks as well recently. So we've definitely lost a lot, whereas I think analytics has probably not struggled at all, even including free at 29, because at the end of the day, you're free hitting. So you're expecting a green arrow really, and just by a sliver of margin, most people got a green arrow. But that's another thing to think about too. Like everyone's had Son for his major holes recently from an analytics point of view. So there's definitely been no edge from us from that perspective, but maybe versus the rest of the field, that's where that edge of maybe going for Son earlier than most, you know, would have worked out, or still having Palmer within your team. But I remember you yourself didn't have Palmer last week, and you, well, not last week, but on game week 28, but
On
you had
28,
Barkley to make up for it. And that's just how it is sometimes. So been pretty static for our teams relative gain wise, but once again, I think we've
I
still
have
done well.
a suggestion for Sartalp maybe, and we can talk to him about this. That based off what our discussion right now, maybe he can display, let's say, the top 3 weeks where we got those gains, because that is more of, I think, a useful indicator. Now that I think more about it, even the Son gains are from way back in the season. There has been no gains with Son for the past 4 weeks. Absolutely zero.
Interesting,
So
yeah.
it could be a more interesting feature to see how much gains you're getting based off your decisions. Of course, this is
I
all
guess at the end of the day,
outcome-based,
because
so
it's like,
it's
because relative
more
gains
of
at the start of the season are ridiculous, and then obviously it
that is true.
almost flips the other way. So you're just look actually the absolute gains are potentially more interesting, right? Because usually what we like to say at this stage of the season, it's like it's the players that you don't have that are destroying you, not the players that you have. Whereas yeah, so a good point that
Maybe
you mentioned as well.
a Nemesis team
Exactly, yeah.
can actually complement this graph.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right. So actually another thing too is, for example, let's say a player who's really good, like Cole Palmer, like he hurt you 2 weeks ago, but you're not really going to see that because he's still going to be a relative gain for you. So maybe like that things like that gets missed as
True.
well. Like Foden would probably be just about negative for me,
See,
but
Foden is not in this,
yeah.
which means that again his gains have not really helped me out, but
Yeah.
they did not destroy me, as you already pointed out. So
That's the thing
that's
too, yeah. Like I have a
it.
hat trick for Foden and I'm still in the negative versus Foden. So that's already quite interesting. But yeah, all right. Last thing in terms of this episode, we'll talk about season review before we just jump on some comments that we can go through. My season review is at the top, JD's at the bottom. So just in terms of the actual ranks, because that's things that we can actually read off for the people listening on the podcast, is my FPL rank says 409, but it's actually 385. My EV in terms of mins is ranked 123, X mins ranked 48. And just to talk about my pie chart, really, a lot of positive variance, as you can see. Definitely lower on the minutes, but I think we've talked about that previously. And that really just comes down to the fact that I like going for players who are a little bit lower on mins, just because if I can find a player that I think is going to have extra minutes, I'll take that risk. And I also don't mind going for players like Richarlison, where in theory he's not a 90 minute player, but if he plays 65 minutes a game, he's still what I would call optimal or classify as optimal. So I don't really mind if some of my players don't actually play 90 minutes of football, as long as if they are playing what I expect them to play, like let's say 65-70, and they get, you know, good EV and good points as well, then I'm happy with that. So that's sort of my play style. Value, very, very high. Part of that, of course, is because I wildcarded again on 26 and was definitely anticipating some price rises and have kept players as well that haven't really, fallen in price. And despite the injuries that I've suffered, my elite correlation is actually rather high. I think it's around maybe definitely over 50%, but my differential EV is also pretty okay as well.
Do you know how much is your variance, by the way? Because this does not show that. That's why.
Yeah, my variance is, I think, within the 80s.
Wow, that must be like what, 96-97 percentile?
I'll let you know. No, I was thinking percentile terms. My variance is only 87.2%. So it's actually fallen over the last 4 weeks.
Okay.
But Chris would probably helped out a little bit in terms of picking that back up. Most of my EV ranks, I think, are within the 95-97 percentile. Part of the mid, I think you can see a small gulf in terms of my min's performance. So rank 123 versus 48. I think the reason really I have to say is because of my injuries recently. So playing, for example, Senesi for 10 minutes, playing Neto for 45 minutes, playing Pau for 45 minutes, playing, I can't even remember if I had another injury as well. But that also, has borne out to, you know, reduction in future X-Men's as well. So, you know, missed out on Zibanyi last week because I had to just almost sit and take it, as opposed to taking a hit for Zibanyi, which obviously would have been nice in hindsight, but I didn't see. Definitely hurt a little bit more by injuries at this stage of the season. And early in the season, I think I can definitely admit that I made some bad decisions from a men's perspective. Mbeumo, Diaby, we've talked about that previously. Maybe even starting with João Pedro, arguably, and things like that. So yeah, for me, when I reflect back my performance, I'm not feeling too bad that my men's is a little bit higher than it should be, and I can just be confident that it's more injury related than anything else recently. So when I think about my play, probably the only issue that I thought about it actually is, and I was speaking to 11FI about this when I wildcard on 26, and I brought out the idea of keeping Foden within the draft. I mean, he was pretty open to the idea of going for Foden over Bruno. That was something that I wasn't really looking at, and I was maybe a little bit more closed-minded, thinking that I would go for free at 29 for sure. But obviously, as it turns out, or rather, sorry, that I was planning for free at 34 like you are, but actually, as it turns out, because of the Huang injury, it actually made more sense for me to go Palmer short-term, and that sort of creeped me back into a free at 29 direction. So I think that, and also even maybe going for Tony over Solanke in the wild card, even though that actually gave me positive EV, because of course I got fixtures from Tony. Once again, the issue with injuries is that as soon as I had four injuries prop up, the Tony versus Solanke transfer was forced because I pivoted back into a free at 29 direction. And that was definitely, you know, hindsight loss of EV. So maybe, of course, if I was to ever revisit such an open-ended chip strategy, I probably need to be a little bit more robust with my wildcard team selection and just think about, you know, how often fixtures can change and how I can sort of be a bit more malleable towards them. Because I think, yeah, Tony, like booking Tony to Solanke as a move was maybe a little bit too short sighted in retrospect. And I think that's one element that I probably criticized myself over when I think back about my season so far. But over to you.
Yeah, so I'm also going to reel off, and just to point out that I had a chat with Review, because I told Fran that I hadn't looked at Review since Review 2.0 season review launched. I had a look, obviously, how it looks, and it was really good. And then I decided, okay, before all the chips sort of pan out, which is end of the season, I wouldn't really look at it, because I don't know. I didn't want to pander towards just the EV, because obviously I'm still using Review to solve, but I'm using market odds. Yep. So I didn't want myself to be influenced too much by it, but because we were doing this, I said, okay, let me just have a look. It was really bad. So I'm just going to read the numbers. Of course, the FPL rank, again, as Fran pointed out for his own, is slightly higher on the review than it really is in reality. So I'm at 1818 right now overall. EV minutes is at 4046 rank, and EV expense is at 3951. And both of them are around the 55th percentile for both minutes and expense. So I started asking myself a question that why is it, what's gone wrong? I mean, everyone had Jota, so that's not an excuse. Everyone had Huang, so that's not really an excuse. So everyone has had to deal with these injuries. And then I asked review a couple of questions because everything is ever evolving, even within season review. So I just wanted to understand what it is that has really caused my underlying ranks to be so bad this season, because they are bad. And maybe the one saving grace would be if the XG rank is good. So that could at least mean that on some level, at least the players I've chosen are good. Even though the EV might not be the best, at least the player selection has not been bad. Which would be one saving grace, but I don't know when the XG rank is coming about. And I just think hoping for the XG rank to sort of save, be a saving grace to what this is, which is a disaster, is pure copium. So I'm not going to wait for XG rank to save me. But just to sort of list out the possible reasons that review and I brainstormed. So the first thing which I realized is because I commit bench wankery almost every single time there is a chance, even within like a normal game week, if I know that a player has a reasonable chance of being out. So for example, there were six game weeks where I was playing Botman, knowing that most of the times Botman was out and having Saliba as bench number one. And I went back and checked because I export review at the end, like closer to deadline. So I have the expense of most players or of all the players. And I saw that Botman was not on zero. So he was on non-zero minutes for every single week. So what I ended up getting out of EV expense is, let's say, 15 minutes of Botman's EV and then 75 minutes of Saliba's EV. Or 75, or not... 15 by 90, which is one sixth of Botman's EV and 5/6 of Saliba's EV. So I started thinking, okay, now I need to go and check how many times I've done that. And it turns out it's, I think, 16 times. So if I look at AutoSub points on review, I'm in the 99th percentile for AutoSub points, which is obvious because every time there's been a chance, I've done that. And then I also started looking at isolated incidents. Like Fran mentioned Pau Torres, I had Pau Torres. So for this 45th minute sub against Nottingham Forest, I had Estupinian for what? 5 to 6 game weeks where he got no minutes or close to no minutes. Now again, I think I partially blame myself for that because when I did Trent to Estupinian, I thought Trent was going to be out for long term. And I got lucky that Trent got re-injured.
Right.
Because imagine if he had not gotten re-injured, I think I would have been screwed a lot more than I was in terms of EV and real points. So there's that. And other transfers that I was looking at, for example, Mbeumo. So Fran and I bought Mbeumo and then he immediately got injured against Luton, right? If I'm not wrong.
Brighton, I think, yeah.
Oh, he scored a goal and got injured.
Yep.
And he completed, what, 30-something minutes. So the problem isn't that Mbeumo got injured. Everyone owned Mbeumo. The problem is that we had to spend one free transfer to go from Diaby to Mbeumo, which meant that I had to stop myself from making another move which would have been better for my team.
That's true, yeah. And, it'd be 2 moves down, yeah.
Yeah, and again, Fran has had to do the same. So Fran has excellent ranks this season. So that's not a reason. But I just start thinking that if you look at a Venn diagram of all possible X-Men casualties, my team seems to be at this sort of epicenter.
Right.
Which, and I could, by the end of the season, I could very well plot it out and actually look at how many players or how many incidents there were. Because, for example, I did not have the Senesi incident, right? And Senesi was a really bad hit to people's expected value. Because, as Fran pointed out, it was not only for that week, which was a very prime fixture against Burnley, it was for future weeks. So you took a minutes hit for that week and you took X-Men's hit for future weeks.
Yeah, Can I say something as well?
Yeah.
I think one thing that might be helpful, like when you review your seasons, could I think looking at something like FPL Optimize just to see where your predicted curve might fall off on certain weeks as well. That was something that I was just looking at just to kind of understand, okay, like was there a sequence of events that might have not really worked out in my favor? So for example, when I looked at your FPL Optimized chart, and I don't have it to hand obviously, but basically you're picking up really consistent EV up until game week 22 and then it kind of falls
Yes, that's
down.
what I saw. It sort
Yeah.
of plateaued, fell
But
down, and
I
then
remember
after a
actually
while started
you
came
were
back
maybe
up.
carrying Salah for a long time. So that prob for me, the way I think about it might be the fact that you weren't able to respend that sort of Salah cash into
Yes.
alternative EV,
Yes.
right? So I
Yes.
was thinking that that might be a reason for that as well,
That is a
because
big reason.
you've
Yes.
recently re-picked up EV, and then obviously
Yeah.
now you've almost tanked your EV a little bit because of course you didn't free at 29, so it's going to look a bit worse anyways, because a lot of
Yeah.
people within the data space obviously have been using free at 29, so that has a huge impact, comparing week to week. So I think that's probably the only point in the season where I would say I remember maybe that was a decision that, because yeah, that's an issue too that I think we forget too. Like when you have a player on your team that's that expensive, the ability to sort of move that player in and out has a lot of consequences on your EV. Like the Haaland
Yes.
injury is a good example, but of course it's different in the sense that we all owned Haaland then, or at least 90% of us did. So it doesn't really show as a difference, from predicted to realized. But I remember, of course, you and Dr. FPL were two players that I think, or well, not Dr. FPL, but I remember FPL Broccoli maybe did as well. But you guys kept Salah for a while, and I'm sure that had some impacts because you were also carrying an Eze injury, which was part of the reason why you didn't make moves, I think, around that. But hard to say, of course. We also had knock-on impacts on Salah as well and his
No,
availability.
it's all relative, right? So
Yeah.
as you real and apologize if I've been rambling, because there are
No,
so
that's
many
fine.
reasons that I was trying to figure out that I just started listing out possibilities. Because again, the review cannot pinpoint, and no one really can pinpoint, right? Because
Yeah.
as Fran said, you can look at graphs and try to surmise what happened. And that point in the season where I said that I did Trent to Estupiñán is the point where I chose not to do Salah to a midfielder or Richarlison
That's
instead.
yeah, that's true, yeah. And then obviously
Yes.
Estupiñán just didn't deliver either,
Yes.
so
Yes.
that's a
So
thing.
it's a double blow. And
Yeah.
the only week Estupiñán had good EV and delivered on minutes and X-Men's was the game where he got two bonus points. I forgot who it was against, but he kept a clean sheet
Was it
and he was subbed
Wolves?
early.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Wolves, yeah. And I think Steele got three bonus points in that game. So that was the
Potentially, yeah.
only week where it panned out as I was expecting. And then from the week after that, Richarlison, I think Richarlison having excellent EV and no one else really being able to match that EV is probably the reason why it has gone that badly.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I don't think free hit can make up for a wild card later on in the season. So I don't think the MD rank is going to get a lot better.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I guess the amalgamation of all the ranks will probably help me out if I
No, that's
haven't
true. And I think about it
had
too, like
overall
the
points.
Allison one is quite significant as well.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
think the Alisson one is the big one. So I calculated and I lost 10 EV in 2 weeks because of the Alisson injury.
That's the thing, yeah. I
So,
think people forget. So obviously that has a min's impact, but then it has a future X-Men's impact, and that is like a like an avalanche, right? So it's like, when I had Senesi, Huang, Neto, I just felt, yeah, this is a bit insurmountable, and my team wasn't going to, live up to expectations by game week 29. So why not almost rejig the entire team slowly? But yeah, like things like that are tough. Like it's not shown yet, but my data ranks will absolutely plummet in 2 weeks' time when I have to make this -4, -8 for Salah, Darwin, Sarabia, these sorts of players. And that's, people have been taking hits in the last few weeks, particularly for these doubles for Bournemouth and stuff like that. I'll have to take it on a single, and so that's going to change things for me. So part of it too is, you're probably a little bit more well set up for the short term than myself. And there are obviously points in your season where you can't just grab EV perfectly, because the whole point of these double game weeks and single game weeks is that you try to navigate them as best as you can, but your team is not going to be insulated every single week. And that's just FPL.
Yeah, and the Alisson injury is, I forgot to mention that, by the way. Thank you for remembering that.
Because yeah, no problem, yeah.
That's a single most important point in the season where I think I wasn't tilt EV-wise. Because yeah. real points, I was always...
Well, you have to think about it too. Like, you still didn't have the chance to even play Alisson the last few weeks. So, for example, when he got a clean sheet versus Nottingham Forest, you can continue to add that EV back because that should be a Liverpool goalkeeper that you have in your team. And you're also spending extra money to do that. So whenever you put money in the goalkeeping position, that's always very tough because to take that money out of the position is very, very hard as well in FPL. We all know that. So I don't envy you at all. But yeah, I mean, you've wildcarded.
And also minus fours, by the way, because I've taken 3 hits.
Mm-hmm.
How many hits have you taken? I think it's 2 or 3,
I think
three,
it's
right?
1, yeah.
Oh, 1. See. Yeah. And hits, we've mentioned this before, but hits are the worst for EV because it's a clear minus 4 off both X Mins and Minutes EV. There's no debating that. There's no uncertainty. It's a clean minus 4. So, again, as Fran pointed out, there are a lot of factors that have piled up. So, hopefully, I can get to a better rank by the end of this season. Mm-hmm. I know there are people who will be scoffing at my dejection of not having good data ranks because I have a good overall rank, but that's not repeatable.
Hey man, you got those variance ranks.
I'm 95th percentile on variance. So
that's mad. Yeah.
You need to be.
I mean, to be honest, I was close to there 2 weeks ago, and I've fallen off a bit. But I mean, look, the reality is, if you want to have a high rank, you want to have variance. But I think the best thing with playing with analytics is, you know, you're there in search of EV, but at the end of the day, you know, as long as you're decision making, you're comfortable with it, you know, you really just want the variance at the end of the day. Like I could care less what my MD ranks are. If you could tell me I could exchange them for points, I'd do them immediately. So
I think that's enough of my sob story. We can probably get to the questions that people have in the chat.
All right, let's just start from the top very quickly. I'll just scroll through. Evening to you, Pablo VC. Yeah, we are. I mean, look, the English national team, half of the players are either quote unquote injured or, you know, back at home training for a more important fixture. So not too concerned.
Oh, Palmer had to drop out, right?
England, yes. And so is Kane, to be fair. But we'll see how that goes. Obviously, it could be quite significant for FPL, but we'll see. Rohit, nice to see you around. Of course, frequenter my channel, so nice to see you. You're going for wildcard 30. Confusions about Watkins. I would drop Watkins 100% if you're going for wildcard 30. I think booking a transfer, in my experience, is pretty bad. I can say so after already expressing a little bit of regret for going Tony over Solanke on my wildcard. I think Watkins obviously has a great fixture on gaming 30, but this is an opportunity where you have other people with competing good fixtures, like you know, Solanke and Darwin that you mentioned. Even Muniz, like if you want to go as cheap as Muniz, look, he's got a good fixture and he'll double in 37. So that's a player who I would even consider over Watkins at this point in time. Stefan, I think we've answered your question just because we have discussed, you know, how to navigate without chips, you know, without bench, or let's say just with bench boost remaining. Yeah. Gothic Van Life says he's creating a 34. I think that's fine. No problem. Pablo says, Schadenfreude, when do you plan to get Haaland back? Yeah, that's a good point, actually. When do you plan on getting Haaland back?
Yeah, so I've answered 31. So my plan when I wildcarded was Barkley Bowen to Salah Palmer in 30 and Watkins to Haaland in 31.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the top review line when I wildcarded, but it is now. So looks like things are going all right. I just need to hope for no Palmer price rises, or both Palmer and Haaland need to not rise. If both of them rise in price, I am priced out of those moves. So it is a little bit of a precarious situation, but I mean, as I told you, worst case, I'll just take a hit for Gusto and play him instead of, because my defense this week is really bad. I'm playing Zabarni Neto against Everton and my other two defenders, because Reguilon was the one I was planning to play.
Oh,
he's
God.
No longer an option. Doubt, and I suppose he'll be okay, but his EV is so bad. Oh
No,
my
it's
god.
bad on this
And
game, yeah, for
we've
sure.
been talking about losing EV and my data ranks being bad. Imagine if I play Doughty, it's going to be so bad if I play Doughty this week. So I think I'll end up with Udogi, Zabarni, and Gabriel
Okay.
against Man City, which is.
That's, yeah,
which,
but I think a lot of people will be reluctantly playing Gabriel at the end of the day. I am trying to circumvent that. If Senesi. Please, please, Senesi, be fit and please start. But if he can start, he would save my team, because once I make my defender transfer for this week, which could very well be, you know, Augusto, Aporo, potentially a little bit defender. Once I have that, I'll have, you know, Senesi plus a competent defender transfer plus Pau Torres, who, you know, isn't playing for Spain right now. So, you know, he should be fit.
Oh, but before we move on, by the way, so Fran went to the first.
I did,
his
yeah.
First Spain game yesterday. I want Fran to never go to another Spain game again.
All right.
Yeah. Because we lost against Colombia 1-0.
It was my fault, wasn't it?
Yeah. How was that? How was that experience?
It was really fun. I mean, I enjoyed seeing some of the Spanish national team players. I wish I could see a little bit of Rodri, but I think we'll probably field our A team versus Brazil. That front line was super static, and I already knew it from the start. Like, there was just not going to be any running. But I can't say Nico Williams, for example, did better when he came off second half. Munoz from Crystal Palace, you know, potential double game week player, did very, very well. Also scored a screamer versus
good.
Us. But he completely locked down Nico Williams, which was the same case for Luis Diaz. So I was actually at the side of the pitch where Luis Diaz was attacking the first half. And in the second half, I was watching Nico Williams attack. And ironically, both of them were awful when I was watching them. So maybe I should just stop watching people in general. But no, I can't say that, because I did watch Lauren James 2 weeks ago in the WSL versus Arsenal. And she was amazing.
Nice.
So she was amazing.
Yeah, she's been having a great season
from
what
I've
seen.
She's a great player.
So, yeah,
but yeah,
absolutely.
Bad in terms of Spanish national team, good in terms of being able to watch them. But hopefully we field better teams in the future. Adam 702.
So you saw Cubarsí as well, right, by the way?
I saw Cubarsí for like 5 minutes, yeah. Because they subbed Laporte, who seems like he's still unwashed, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So right. Adam says, are you guys looking at your teams for future transfers? As we've discussed exactly that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at defender transfer, right?
Yeah.
So am I. And as we said, I think you're looking between, you know, either an additional Spurs player, which obviously feels counterintuitive with a potential blank, but that's that. And then, look, you're also looking at Chelsea players because of 37 impacts, or just Liverpool. If somehow you can afford a very expensive Liverpool defender, because I think Bradley is what I would call stretching the line. Like, you're expecting a player who's playing 30-31. You're hoping for too much. He could be subbed off at 59 minutes. Joe Gomez is not a joke. Simikas is not really a joke either, but Robertson is the biggest impact. We've seen some early Bradley subs. I think it's just borderline. And you're not going to get Gimme 34 for Bradley to the extent that you really like, unless, of course, we have a Trent injury. And in that case, of course, we all go Bradley. But yeah, that's something to think about. And then Chelsea defender, you sort of make that decision between Gusto or if you think someone else is nailed. These are sort of our defender transfers for the week. Because I think thematically, do you have Salah in your team already or not yet?
No, that's what I said. I'm planning on
exactly.
Barkley, Bowen to Salah, Palmer. So that is my plan.
Yeah. And so for someone like me, I'm looking for Salah and Gimme 31 instead. As part of a hit, so we'll see that. And then Rohit says, "What are both of our favorite formations for the rest of the season? 3-5-2, 3-4-3." So I think, you know, one thing that we need to think about too is that if we're going to bench boost on 37, in reality we're once again going to have to be carrying 8 players. So I wouldn't say that I have a favorite formation per se. The way my team looks right now, of course, I'm basically playing a 3-4-3 because I've got Pedro Neto. But as soon as Pedro Neto gets out of my team, I'm basically going to have a hybrid team. So I hope that sort of answers your question.
You have a look at FPL Optimized for your formations? Like, how many times have you used each formation? And
I haven't
what
seen
the
that yet,
is?
But I imagine it's been a lot more 3-4-3 than previous seasons. But I would say the best team is still a 3-5-2.
So I was looking at my averages, and it's so funny. It's 3.3, 4.3, and 2.3. So it's literally a third. So I have played a defender third of the times, a midfielder a third of the times, and a striker third of the times. It's really, there's no favorite formation.
I see.
I suspect we won't have three strikers moving ahead for long because we want Salah, Son, Saka, all the heavy hitters in midfield. But
I think I can just about afford them because I have slightly more money in the bank. So I think I'm a bad person to ask this question to because I think I'm going 3-4-3 with a really good fifth defender, a fifth midfielder. But actually, I think most people are going for 3-5-2. And maybe, of course, Muniz is your third striker. And who knows, Muniz is... actually, do you want to talk about Muniz before we close the episode?
Yes, of course,
Because I think he's like one of those interesting picks, obviously, where, you know, he doesn't double in 34. He will double in 37. Whether he plays 37 is a separate thing. But I think he's firmly first choice now. He did go off with a knock for Spurs. The underlyings are very good. Extremely small sample size, but actually it's only really improved game to game. So any sort of early thoughts on Muniz?
So we discussed Muniz ironically before pre-29 as
well.
Before
he destroyed us, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very difficult, right? Mm. Because, for example, you pointed out very astutely that he has never taken a penalty in his senior career.
Yeah.
And... okay, now my memory is being selective here, but I'm struggling to remember a striker that I've gone for who's never even taken a penalty. I agree that his career is pretty young, so maybe in the future he might end up taking them, but there are so many, what shall we say, orange flags. I won't say they're red flags, but there's so many things that make me hesitate towards bigging him up ever as a realistic option, except for if you're short of money. And with your team value, or for example, my team value, which is pretty close to yours now, I struggle to see why we would ever need someone like Muniz in the team. So,
but is he not Garnacho almost? You know, if you can kind of make that argument.
Oh, by the way, you said that Fulham. There's no chance Fulham can double. By the way,
on 37.
No.
Oh, yeah,
no
yeah, of course. So, sorry. Yeah. No, that's my fault. Yeah.
So, because someone asked a question in the chat as well, so there is no chance. So, Aston Villa, Brentford, Burnley, Fulham, Luton Town, Nottingham Forest, and West Ham cannot double for the rest of the season. And I would point you towards FPL Spaceman's graphic, the Venn diagram, which really illustrates that point. So, yeah, coming back to the Fulham sort of striker position. Do you think Broya is going to realistically take any minutes off him? Because I don't think that's going to happen now that he's
no, I don't really think so. I think it's like it's impossible. But it's Jimenez that would take minutes away from him.
Yeah, fair enough. Jimenez is the one. So I don't know. I just don't find sufficient reason to go for him, which is I agree that maybe my minutes interpretation of some players has not been spot on this season as probably
I think his minutes feel safe, but I think your point is like, can he be that can he be like Ollie Watkins level? Like I don't know.
You're right. So my hesitancy does not come from his minutes. My hesitancy comes from a lack of data.
Yeah.
And I admit that there are times in an FPL season where if you wait for data, you already lose out. So the moment comes and goes, like Gundogan, very famously, when he was playing in a different position, we did not have enough data, but we still went for him because, you know, Man City player playing further forward and being cheap. I think he was 5.5 or something, or 6.5. Very cheap. So there is reason to go for him, but at the same time, I don't know when you would find a transfer to get him and then play him between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like if you need money and you need Salah and you need to go to a 3-5-2, he's the player that will send you.
But then again, on bench boost.
You're right. Because they play. They don't even have a good fixture on 37, do they? They have City anyways. So.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I don't know why I was thinking about Fulham doubling. I think all this time I was sort of thinking back to my wildcard 26 days when I was thinking about things like this. But yeah, of course, Fulham don't have a double. The Liverpool Fulham fixture is on 34,
he's an interesting talking point because the fact that I don't have a clear justification for my hesitancy is just backed up by a lack of data.
And looking at like his market sort of data and how that's been sort of improving week on week? Or
it has improved, right?
Yeah, it has improved a lot.
Yes.
Like there is a big gap substantially between Muniz and Muniz on market versus Muniz on MD. So like if I compared, let's say, Watkins and Muniz, the gulf is insane on MD, but the gulf is like, I mean, there's barely a difference really between the two of those players. And I'm mentioning these two players because they are both players who at the end of the day don't have, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, they won't have a double, right?
Who?
Like Watkins and Muniz.
Yeah. Both of them will not have a double. So that's what makes me open to selling Watkins, even though I know that if he scores a goal when I don't own him, that's going to absolutely tank my rank because he is always close to 100% EO. I don't remember a time where Watkins hasn't been close to 100%.
Neither.
Yeah. So you'll be keeping him, right? So I
just for this week. Just for this week. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be on similar paths then, because I will also be selling Watkins, but for a different reason, to get Haaland. And you already own Haaland. You'll be selling him to get Salah. So
yeah,
our paths seem to be converging for the short term, at least.
No, for sure. And that's an interesting thing too. Like I need to put into consideration, like, whether if, let's say, going for someone like Muniz at that sort of price point allows me to have a super well-rounded team for all the weeks in and between, like that could be really nice. But at the end of the day, I think you're right. Like he's expensive, but I don't think he's going to really hurt me too much. So I'm going to have to just go with that Muniz, and, you know, he can continue to play brilliantly. And he very well probably will be on penalties. Because I feel like with Fulham too, like we there's so much uncertainty over pen takers.
There is.
It's like I wouldn't see why he wouldn't get the chance to be on penalties, if that makes sense. But we'll see.
We also don't know behind the scenes what's happening. If he's already practicing taking penalties in the chance he's on the pitch and Jimenez is not on the pitch.
For sure.
So we don't know all of that. And also, so someone is asking, is Mateta a better option than Muniz?
I have to say no, because I think you can't be 100% certain of Mateta's minutes, but then also his underlying data is pretty poor, and Crystal Palace are notoriously one of the worst attacking teams. And of course, even though there's been a managerial change, I haven't seen much of a reason to really go for someone like Mateta recently. I would still definitely go Muniz.
If it's a shootout between those two, I think I'll also go Muniz.
Yeah.
Just because I think Odson-Edouard can easily play one of those games in the double game week as well. And
it depends. Like, if you're dead-ending, you know, technically. But I still think you'd probably go for five midfielders on that week. Like, there's going to be midfielders who outperform Mateta. So then when I think about it, like, just as an option week to week, like, you probably don't want to play Mateta at all any of the weeks now. Whereas, like, reasonably, I think the next three Muniz fixtures are really good. It's like, it's Sheffield United, it's Nottingham Forest, and it's Newcastle. Like I'd be so confident with like having Muniz versus these teams, whereas when I have Mateta, like I need perfect fixtures to even think about really playing Mateta. Like I need, once again, that Luton fixture where Mateta scored. But I think that just shows different baselines and different team strengths when it comes to attack specifically.
No, absolutely, and I Crystal
and no pens as well for Mateta. Right?
Yes, exactly. If Eze is on the pitch, then the.
Oh, I think we've lost Schadenfreudist. But I think this is a good time to maybe call the pod. Pablo, I just want to say that you've mentioned as well that you've got excellent data ranks and your OR is not in the best place. I mean, I think in those instances, that's just variance, right? That's just FPL, the nature of football. I wouldn't worry about it too much. But I think we're in a good place to call the pod here. And I thank you guys for watching this week. Do subscribe if you've been watching so far. Enjoy the rest of the England match. It's still 0-0, exactly as we planned. There was no action in the England match until we're signing off. So that's the plan here. Take care, guys. And we'll see you guys next week as well, where we'll probably deep dive a little bit more focused into Game Week 31. But JD's
my
back.
My Discord decided to tell me to stop the stream because there's been enough of a discussion. So just to let the viewers know that we'll be back next week for the regular stream pre Game Week 30, and we'll try to cover short-term topics, but I suspect the stream will be shorter than this
yeah,
week.
Or, absolutely. Yeah. This is just a laid-back discussion, but a good one. And obviously the fixtures are worth discussing. So take care, guys. maybe spend a little bit less time talking about free hits on Twitter and a little bit more time just enjoying football.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.